B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity, flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady drops back with a play fake to Lewis. Stands tall. Throws down the left side for Cooks. It's off his hands and he can't make the catch. He was open. The throw was on his fingertips and he could not hold on.
He's fighting it. I mean, I don't know how more to explain these deep issues that he has downfield when you don't hit him between the one and four.
That was right on his
hands. What's the movie? Is it The Replacements? I'm trying to think of the one guy where he's always open downfield and he's got the white gloves on and just it's like, yeah, you got to hit him in the helmet.
There, didn't he?
Nice job grabbing that audio.
Sosie, not happy with Brandon Cooks. Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand here on the Sports Hub.
Bob's got to learn to control himself better than that. Yeah.
Bob needs to learn to control himself a little better, is that what you said?
Yeah. Pot.
That's good. It's a good one. It hit him in the hands!
Stands tall, throws down the left side for Cooks. It's off his hands, and he can't make the catch. He was open. The throw was on his fingertips, and he could not hold on.
He ended up sounding happy there that he couldn't hold on. He was angry, then he went angry to happy.
I've been telling you privately for weeks now.
Hey, there's a little bit of a controversy.
We just all witnessed it.
With Rob Gronkowski today. What do you make of this story that he said in an interview that he had obtained the Buccaneers playbook for a month? He had already had it for a month.
So he was on the stage still, correct? Let's play the audio then.
Yeah, he was in this happened on Saturday night. It was some sort of draft after party that was obviously digital. It was virtual. And so here, take a listen, to Rob Gronkowski in this interview that happened over the weekend.
But I do think the AFC North, like Cincinnati, I mean, Joe Burrow has been working with that playbook for weeks, he says, right? He might challenge to start right away. Cleveland got better.
Anyone can say that. I was in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playbook 4 weeks ago, and I wasn't even on the team.
Why didn't you tell me before the other day?
Don't fall for that.
What does he say at the second part? I can't make that
that's
out.
That's what I need to hear.
Why didn't you tell me before the other day?
Don't fall for that.
Marie Antoinette?
I don't know.
Before the other day.
Don't fall for that.
Leonard Fournette?
What?
Before the other day.
Don't fall for that.
Fall for FNAF.
A second time?
Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that.
Don't fall for that. See, I think my first inclination here, he's breaking balls. I think he's just trying to be Mr. Funny Man. And this is where he's done so much out in the media and stuff and doing the WE stuff. I think he's trying to make a joke and have fun because that's his persona. And then it doesn't sound right. But he's so football smart from a football intelligence, you know, even talking with Tom in years past, like, oh, Gronk, it's not like people think he's like, ooh, you know, no, it's like he knows spacing, he understands everything. You don't have to tell him something twice. The game comes so naturally to him that I don't think he keeps his nose in any playbooks. I think he lifts weights, drinks protein shakes, plays football, puts tape on, and go play. That's him. Me catch touchdown, you know. Nose in a playbook for 4 weeks. Give me a break. I don't think so. You guys think differently?
I think that he had the playbook is what I think. I took it at
4 weeks,
sort of face value. And when he says don't fall for that, I assume he's talking about something to do with Joe Burrow. You know, in terms of, he said, did he say he got it the other day? Yeah, don't fall for that. Like they could have given him the playbook a month ago, the same way he's had it for a month with Tampa Bay.
Well, let's listen to it one more time.
Yeah, one more
I
time.
Thought he said that. All right.
All the way through.
But I do think the AFC North, like Cincinnati, I mean, Joe Burrow has been working with that playbook for weeks, he says, right? He might challenge to start right away. Cleveland got better.
I mean, can say that. I was in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers playbook 4 weeks ago, and I wasn't even on the team.
Why didn't you tell me before the other day?
Don't fall for that.
You know what? My mind has changed on this.
Yeah.
He's saying don't fall for Joe Burrow, saying he's been in the playbook for weeks.
Because he hasn't.
That's what he's saying. He's joking. He is, though.
Yeah.
Zoe's right. You're absolutely right. He is. He's saying, yeah, okay, and I've been in the playbook for a month at Tampa Bay. Don't fall for that. That he's been working in the playbook for 5 weeks. Don't fall for that crap. So that's him shooting it down.
He's telling you how it goes. Like, they don't give you stuff till they technically own you. You know? Like, hey, I've been there. I know it. Like, they drive me, then I get the playbook. Don't be falling for that.
Don't be falling for the idea that this guy's been spending his entire, you know, the last month working on a Bengals playbook. Don't fall for that crap. Like, they didn't hand over the goods until now.
Right.
That's actually what he's saying. Yeah, man, you really got to dissect that audio. This is a coronavirus problem right here.
It is, because everybody's looking for content, and it's just like, you know, he's going to do the interview
otherwise
to help
we
them
wouldn't
out.
Care.
I'm going to go out there. I'm going to have fun with Sage.
No,
and it just comes off the wrong way.
It's being on Skype or whatever it is he's using, whatever service it is, that sounds like this. Play it. Well, let's play it one more time, and I want to hear it again,
thinking that this is
what it is. It's him shooting down the idea that Burrow's been in that playbook.
But don't listen to it while you think of what it is. Just try and listen to it. Clear your mind, Beetle.
Clear your mind.
Focus on one point in the distance.
Okay,
now we listen to it.
But I do think the AFC North, like Cincinnati, I mean, Joe Burrow has been working with that playbook for weeks, he says, right? He might challenge to start right away. Cleveland got better.
I was in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers playbook 4 weeks ago, and I wasn't even on the team.
Why didn't you tell me before the other day?
Don't fall for that.
Yep.
And in the start, he said anyone can say that.
Yep.
Is what he said. He goes, anyone can say that.
He's giving you real insight. People are taking it the wrong way. He's finally giving you something good and funny and having fun. Like, hey, they don't give you the damn thing until they own you. Okay?
Okay, so his explanation, let's see if his explanation jibes with what we just heard.
Okay.
All right, which is just I just saw a flash of it up there on our simulcast. But his explanation was that, yeah, he was joking, and this was his what was it, on Twitter or Instagram that he posted this?
Yeah, he said, this is seriously a story, LOL. I was joking around with Sage, as I was pretty much the whole time that night when I was co-hosting the show. Wowzers, my co-hosting skills on point, LOL. I actually just received my team-issued Surface today from the Bucks, and it's still in the package. And I'm hoping it's all pictures and drawings. I'm pumped to open it one day, hopefully soon, and follow the arrows to learn where to run to. Gronk run, Gronk catch ball, no playbook needed. Hee hee.
That's real. That's him.
That's him also crapping on playbooks.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
exactly.
Need this crap.
I've heard this. Like, he doesn't need the coaching. Like, he knows what to do and when to do it.
Now, let's say for the sake of argument that he has had the playbook for weeks, because Brady knew he was going there.
Sure.
And Brady knew that Gronkowski was going there. And, you know, this has been something that has been in the works. And it's obviously the notion that they're trying to dispel by saying this, whether it's true or not. Does anyone care if Rob Gronkowski had the Buccaneers playbook a month ago?
No, I don't.
I don't care.
That doesn't mean squat.
Should anyone care?
No.
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 What do we care?
No, in fact, if anybody cares, it should be the Bucks that would care more than anybody. You gave your playbook to a player a month in advance of not even knowing if you were going to actually be able to acquire him?
No, the reason people are talking about this is because, it was Arians, too, having fun with the Brady thing. You know, hey, Tom Brady picks the phone up, you know, when he's at the combine. Like, ooh, they love getting ahead of it. You know, no, I don't believe this for one second. No.
I mean, even if it were true, it wouldn't upset me. No. I know there's but it's tampering. So what? Why does that matter? What are we upset about tampering for a guy that was never going to play for the Patriots ever again?
When's the last time he lined up the wrong way or they had to call timeout because he screwed something up? Never. No. It'll be seamless for him. And Brady will talk to him, talk it through him when in the huddle or break in the huddle.
Yeah, practice will be far more valuable to him than the playbook.
Yeah, exactly. Those two, he'll just give him the look and he'll know what to do. You know, that's the type of plateau those two are on.
All right, we've got calls on the board. One open line if you want to grab it right now. Let's get to those calls coming up next.
Solak, and Bertrand. Middays on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap, and the tip digs in, and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Is the phone number for you. Prop bets are out on Tiger versus Phil. We'll get to that coming up next segment. Right now we get to your calls, most of which have to do with overrated Patriots over the years. Aaron is in the truck. Who do you have for us, Aaron?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey,
I got a good one for you. Michael Floyd, you know, we didn't think much of him when we first picked him up, but then he had that game in Miami where he had that good catch, and then he lit up that guy on an Edelman catch run.
Yeah, in Miami, that's right.
Crushed him.
So, I mean, and then after that, everyone was talking about, like, oh, he could be good for us in the playoffs, and then nothing. I don't even remember him having a single catch after that.
Yeah, Aaron, you know what we're noticing here? There's a trend with what people are coming up with. They're all receiver names. And I don't know what that means. Does that mean that they just are always picking at the, you know, the leftovers? The bottom of the barrel receivers out there. I think that's a big part of it. But
that's
that
why
one,
you don't, that's why you
Michael
don't want to touch
Floyd.
Andy Dalton. See, like, these are all guys that had good careers in the league, that put up numbers, that end up making too much money, end up getting released by their team. Even like Josh Gordon. You know what I mean? Like, just you look at it, like, there's such upside if we get him, like the reclamation part of it. This is why you don't want to touch Andy Dalton. This is exactly why.
Kevin's in Weymouth. He's got more wide receivers for us. Kevin.
Jeez.
Hey, what's going on, boys? Hey, so buddy. I was going to say Michael Floyd, but I guess I'm going to have to say Austin Collie. We all thought he was going to be the Peyton Manning special target when he came to us. And what, he was here for a cup of coffee, you know, three catches, I think it was.
Hey, mushhead.
I'll hang up and listen.
I thought Austin Collie was okay while he was here.
Yeah.
I don't think the expectation was high for him.
Bingo. He's trying to help you out. Right.
And you knew he was banged up and it had 4 million concussions and was at the end of his career.
Like the Joey Galloways, the Eric Deckers, the Reggie Wayne. Those guys never even made it through camp, you know?
Galloway made it to the roster, though.
He
played
did.
In the regular season.
Yeah. Never worked out after practice. Never went
what
out
game was it that Brady,
hurt.
Like, snapped on him? Was it Washington?
It was home, here.
Yeah, was it against the Redskins? I don't know why I remember that as being maybe the moment where he lost his patience with him.
Was he had the one he yelled at. It's not that hard. Didn't he wear 88? What the hell is his name? He wore 88, I think. Brady was screaming at him. It's just not that hard. It's not that hard to pick up.
I don't recall.
There's another receiver.
David in
sure
New Bedford.
Wore number 88?
Yes, I was wondering about Lawrence Maroney. Was he before 2010, or was he part of this past decade?
Was he still on the team in 2010? Right. I don't
you'd
know.
Almost have to put a Ben Jarvis Green Ellis on at him. Yeah,
ooh,
yeah,
that's
what
one.
I was wondering. I couldn't remember if he was part of 2010 or not, and whether he was a good Patriot or do you think he was overrated?
He was thank not. You. He was not on the team in 2010. I just checked.
He was productive. He was.
Okay.
Hey,
thank you.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, they picked him in the first round, so I mean, the expectations are through the roof when you draft a guy that high. You know, coming out of Minnesota.
The 2010 running backs for the Patriots were Fred Taylor, Sammy Morris, Danny Woodhead, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis.
Yeah.
Wow, what a crew. What a crew. Yeah, that's who they had. Matt's in Halifax. Hey, Matt.
Hey. I got another receiver for you. How about the Antonio Brown signing? I mean, for all the hype that was he was given for the week that he actually played.
No, that's the thing. He was really that good.
Yeah.
That's why they did it. I mean, overrated maybe in people's confidence that he would be able to not be a complete knucklehead and stay on the team. But in terms of him and his talent as a receiver, no, not overrated. That's the truly tragic part about that guy. He can flat out play. Just mentally, he can't keep it together.
Mark is in Wellesley. Hi,
I'm
kind of
getting there too. Yeah. Mark?
Zoe. Yeah. Hey. Yeah, Zoe, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Okay. Zoe, my question is, can Brady and Gronk be on another page when they're in the huddle? Can Brady give Gronk like one of the plays, like down and out, and say that, hey, this is a Patriots play? You know,
it wouldn't term it that way. He would like, hey, I want you to go to 8 here on this and then come back. I'm going to stick it on your right side. Like he'll whisper that to him, leaving the huddle. Or, hey, I'm coming to you here. Yeah, 4th and 10 in Denver. You know, hey, get your ass down the seam. I'm coming to you. I don't care what the coverage is. Yeah. You know?
Okay. So that'll keep, you know, Gronk really doesn't have to get in the playbook if Brady just takes him aside.
No, I mean, you got to have some sort of an understanding. You know, just you have to be able to line up. But I think it becomes so second nature to him playing the game. You know, the great ones are like that. Other guys labor. Other guys think like, oh, crap, I got to get the 10 yards, then I got to cut right. But it's really only 3rd and 7, so maybe I should take it up to 8 and then cut it because it's man-to-man. Gronk knows that stuff.
Yeah.
And Brady trusts him on that. So that's the biggest part of it.
Sean in Framingham also on Gronk today. Hi, Sean.
Yeah, hey, how you doing? We could probably hear it better in our cars and the radio. And, you know, during the phone call there, he says, I forgot what it was now. Oh, yeah, he says anybody could say that. And right after that, he says it doesn't make any sense is what I got.
Okay.
And also, what about the other undrafted quarterback, Lamar something from Louisiana? He was all USA, Conference USA Offensive Player of the Year, I believe.
Smith, yep.
Yeah, you're talking about Jamar Smith who the Patriots signed, right?
Yeah, Jamar Smith. Yep.
Yeah. Helps the ball different.
Yeah, but he can throw the ball, man.
He can throw.
It doesn't seem to impact his throws at all, which is pretty crazy.
See, and that's part of the problem, too, is if you notice that as a scout and say he was going to be a mid-round or high-round pick, that would be part of the problem here with your inability to work guys out because as a pro scout, you'd want to get a brand-new pro football, take it out of the bag,
right.
Take the box with you down to Louisiana Tech, give it to him, say, let's go. Let's throw some 17 right outs here. I'm going to see how he grips the ball. I'm going to see if it comes out of his hands, see if it slips on him. Because you have no clue how this is going to go with that.
Did you say you were watching some Lewerke tape? What were you watching?
Yeah, Lewerke highlights, yeah.
What do you think?
Not bad.
Didn't take long.
Not bad.
Hardy's so down on him.
Well, okay.
So well, down
I,
on
I
him.
Was down, too, and I dismissed it until I looked at the numbers. And I'm like, holy
shit. Were you watching highlights from 2017? Because, you know, he came out of the gates
great. You can watch Tim Tebow highlights from Florida, too. Okay, I give you that.
Right? And then he got hurt. And he never really made it back. And even when he was good, he never had a completion rate of over 60%.
They showed that low light last week of him kicking the ball around.
He's got the ability to make some throws, but he doesn't do them. And this is a combination of what I've seen. And what I've seen is a guy who doesn't look like he's got total confidence. And then scouting reports on him say a lot of the same things. Now they say it much more eloquently than I do, and so you would understand this. I don't. You know, they're talking about his follow through and his arm angle and how that can indicate whether or not he's really confident in the throw that he's making. But he doesn't.
Could be a streaky passer. Could be scattered. You know what I mean? Like Stidham had some of that shell shock stuff coming out of Auburn, right? Because he got his ass kicked and hit so many times.
Now, I mean, maybe he just needs different coaching. Maybe he needs someone to teach him to have a little more. I don't know if awareness is the right word. Field vision, I think, has been an issue with him.
Yeah, he doesn't miss many games. Like they said, the kid's tough.
But he doesn't miss games because he's hurt. He missed games because he was injured. But I think he played all 13 last year. So yeah, he was in there, just not all that good. And he never ascended from that big splash that he made. And the big splash that he made wasn't a huge splash. He was good, and he looked like he was going to be in line with some other, you know, good quarterbacks that have come out of Michigan State. And I know you guys, you know, aren't particularly high on Kirk Cousins, but the guy is a starting quarterback in the NFL, and it looked like he was going to be next in line of, you know, of the line of Michigan State quarterbacks that are good, not great. You know, good job. He can go out there and get it done. And obviously not, based on what happened after the injury and certainly with his last season. That's why he went undrafted. I'd love to see him getting a chance, you know, just the old, give it the old college try. All right, another alma mater there in the NFL. But he's going to have to get considerably better in a lot of areas before he's given any real chance of remaining on this team or any other team.
He could be the perfect, like, practice squad type quarterback. You know, you get him here, get him through camp. He can maybe wild in a couple preseason games, and then kind of stash him on a roster and see if you can develop him. Yeah.
Yeah, all true. But I don't hate Kirk Cousins as much as you make it sound like I hate Kirk Cousins. Actually, I think I like him more than Zoe.
I think we make fun of him with the, woo, you like that?
Yeah, he's sort of a crappy attitude. I don't think he cares all that much. I think he likes money, which is not a problem. We all like money. But
he seems like he gets a little pissy. He seems like a Jay Cutler type, just a little bit.
Yes,
you know?
He's got a little bit of that Jay Cutler thing. In him. Oh, by the way, how about Jay Cutler and his wife getting a divorce?
It's not funny.
What's not funny?
If you watch any of that reality
show. Jay Cutler's divorce is not funny?
She seems like one you could get sick of real quick.
What do you mean it's not funny?
It's tragic, Beetle. You know, these two were joined in holy matrimony, and they were supposed to be till death do us part, and it turns out all it took was 3 weeks on an island in the Bahamas to realize they hated each other and they couldn't be married.
Well, not only did these two bozos go to the Bahamas while everything is going on, they went there as things were first closing, and people were being warned, you probably shouldn't travel, you might not make it back. And they said, nah, the hell with it, let's go to the Bahamas anyway. And they took... It was them and their kids and her best friend, who's the hairstylist, and the hairstylist's assistant. I mean, what are you doing? And so they rent, I think they were in this big sort of house down there, and they had to try and get a flight back, which they eventually did after spending 3 weeks down there in the Bahamas. And they got back. And when they got back, Jay Cutler filed for divorce. He said he had enough. He said, no more of this. And so she has reportedly been blindsided about being served the divorce request by him.
He seems just like such a ladies' man. You know, like he's a fun, lovable guy that loves to go out with a scowl on his face and a drooping.
I mean, the divorce has been announced and the papers have already been filed. I mean, something tells me something was wrong there before they ever went to the Bahamas.
Or he found the Bahamas. He found a hell of a Bahamian divorce lawyer.
He probably went to the beach down there and someone said, hey, man, come to the Bahamas.
It says in the papers, though, as I'm reading from E! News, that she began looking for a new residence in the fall of 2019.
So there were fractures.
And she found a home that she liked and initiated the home buying process, which Jay, quote, never objected to. That Cutler never objected to her going out and buying her own house.
It's probably like, go ahead. Get down there. Keep going. You want to go? Oh, okay. You want to leave?
Yeah, there were signs. Sure, there were signs.
Now, by now, most people have seen smoking Jay Cutler, which are the photoshops of Jay Cutler smoking a cigarette. And I can just imagine, like, smoking Jay Cutler sitting on the couch. And she's like, I'm going to buy a new house. And he's like, all right. Sure.
Okay.
You know, like, yeah, whatever. Whatever you need to do. Like, sort of his whole attitude on life. Like, yeah. All right. Sure. Well, let me know where it is.
Yeah.
Let me know what you end up finding.
When you get the thing, bring the papers when you assign them.
Over-unders, prop bets on the golf matchup between Tiger, Phil, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning. Something to gamble on. We'll tell you about that coming up next, and more of your calls on overrated Patriots.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. Zolak and Bertrand with you here. As we get ready for our first real sporting event, which I think is going to be Tiger versus Phil number two, with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning involved, there have been some numbers put out, Hardy, on things we can wager on
yes,
as it relates to this matchup.
So obviously, people are clamoring to bet on something if you're one of those people. And now this betonline.ag, what is AG? Antigua? Mm.
That's a good question. Where is the AG? I'll look it up right now.
Okay.
Antigua and Barbuda.
Barbuda?
Is that like a cross between Barbados Barbuda. And Bermuda?
Is it Barbuda or Barbuda?
Okay. Well, good guess on the Antigua. All right. BetOnline.ag. Now, some of these are kind of dumb because I think they're purposely keeping the location held secret. They don't want people showing up. I think that was one of your theories early on, Beetle, that one of the reasons why we didn't know exactly when or exactly where is they didn't want people showing up there. That makes sense.
Sure.
So the first couple of these props don't make a lot of sense. First of all, we knew that Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning were opening as the early favorites. They're at minus 240.
Right.
So Tiger and Peyton are the favorites. Phil and Tom are at plus 200.
I would take Mickelson and Brady here, and I'll tell you why. Woods and Manning, they've got all kinds of injuries. You know, Woods got that bad back. Peyton Manning's got that bad neck. That could come into play here.
All right. The first series of them are all about whether or not players will hit a fairway in regulation on the first hole. Peyton Manning, will he hit the fairway on the first hole? Minus 150 is yes. Where are they playing? You know, is the first fairway at this particular club 30 yards wide or is it 100 yards wide?
Yes.
What are we talking about? So these you got to stay away from.
But I'd like to jump on that just to root for someone to shank it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And
celebrating in your living room as someone shanks one.
Yeah.
I think no is the right bet for both Peyton and Brady. I mean, you know, hitting the fairway is difficult no matter what size the fairway is when you're playing on camera in a match where you know everyone is watching. So
what is it for Brady?
Brady is yes is minus 120. No is minus 120. So he's five to six odds both ways.
Okay.
Will Tiger Woods wear a red shirt? Yes, minus 600. Okay, that's fine. How many times will there be a Peyton Manning commercial during the broadcast? Total commercials featuring Peyton Manning during the broadcast. The line is 1.5.
Oh, that feels low.
Right?
I would say under. I would think you would not want to, you know, pump Peyton's tires during this.
But
with
what?
So if you're State Farm or one of the advertisers, you don't put on a Peyton Manning commercial during
it'd be like
the Peyton?
Too much. I don't know.
No, I think you hammer the over on this one. All the
yeah,
two
I would
commercials
too.
over what's probably going to be a minimum 3-hour broadcast. I think that's got over written all over it.
Okay.
How about this one? What logo will be on Tom Brady's hat? TB12 is minus 400. Buccaneers is plus 250.
It will be a TB12.
Look at you, close. My big TB12 master. Ride a horsey. You ran the horsey.
This raises another interesting point, though. Well, I mean, it had been years since Brady had worn a Patriots hat here in New England, right? What if he starts wearing a Bucs hat when he gets down to Tampa Bay?
Too ugly a logo.
I don't know. Beatles got a pretty good looking hat there. I don't know.
I'll lend it to him. He can have it.
First player to have a football highlight shown. Now, this is interesting because they're going to need the rights to show these. This is on TNT, so this is not an automatic NFL network partner. But
there's
the first
so
player to have
games.
One shown, Tom Brady is an even money bet. Peyton is minus 140. I don't see them showing Peyton Manning on the football field during the broadcast before they show Tom Brady.
I bet there is some sort of intro to the broadcast, though, that features brief clips of both of them, probably like raising Super Bowl trophies or something.
Well, someone's going to be first.
Yeah, it's impossible to predict.
It really is. And who's going to tee off first? I mean, maybe it's part of like the promo package that they, you know.
One of the quarterbacks.
What?
Quarterback will go, and then a pro go.
No, I'm
then
saying.
The quarterback will go.
Right. If Peyton tees off before Tom, though, if the Peyton and Brady team has first tee honors, then they're going to show Peyton's highlight first. Maybe. I wouldn't bet that one anyway. Yeah. How about this?
Okay.
Will the word deflate be said by any player?
No.
No is minus 160. Yes is plus 120.
Ooh.
Yeah, I would go with no on that.
All right. Will the word Omaha be said by any player?
Yeah, I think the first shank shot that he hits, it's not going to be four. It's going to be Omaha.
Omaha. Yes is plus 220. No, minus 325. Will any player spike a football? Now, this sounds dumb, which is why yes is plus 350 and no is minus 600. But Phil has carried a football around in his bag before, and there's footage of him throwing the football out on the golf course. He got a pretty good arm. So will any player spike a football? Would you bet that either way?
I would bet that. I would say yes.
It would be Brady.
Yeah. It'll be some silly little prop that they introduce, and I would say yes, it happens.
Right. Will any player spike a golf ball? According to the article on the Loop.
Now we're getting silly here.
Yeah, they say yes is plus 150, minus 200. They say this is not a thing. This will not happen. No.
No, it's improper etiquette there. And
it's not even etiquette. It's like no one's ever spiked a golf ball. No.
I've run over him with my cart, but
you don't spike a baseball. You don't spike a golf ball. It's just you. No, no, no.
Well, will they wear shorts or pants? Is that on there?
That's a really good prop
because it's not it's not a tour event. If it's going to be 100 degrees wherever they may play this, and Phil's got those great calves that nobody really even sees, like you want to show those babies off. Brady doesn't wear shorts.
Wasn't Brady always self conscious about his legs?
Yes.
Yeah, so it varies from player to player. There are longest drive props between Peyton and Brady. Peyton is a bit of a favorite on that one, so he must be a little longer off the tee.
Man, they really like Manning in this.
Yeah. Well, he's a better golfer. He's got a better handicap, and, you know, it's not by much, but apparently Peyton is a better golfer than Brady. This is the dumbest one on here. Will there be a hole in one? Yes is plus 950.
No.
Would you lay $100 down at plus 950 for a hole in one? No is minus 3,500. There's no way in hell. There's no way in hell you bet that on either side. I mean, the no is minus 3,500, so you have to lay out a bunch of money to make any money. And there's not going to be one anyway. It's one of those dumb, so far out of the realm of possibility occurrences that they can't make the odds tempting enough. If they gave you 1,000-to-1 odds on a hole in one, I still wouldn't bet it. It's just throwing money away. No,
well, they got to do better than what it's currently at.
Yeah,
I mean that's just way too low. That's not enticing.
Yeah, the plus 950. Will there be a hole in one? No one's going to bet that.
Yeah,
nobody.
No, that doesn't. That's not fun enough. No,
Lifshatz might take the bite on game on that.
Tell you what, I've been looking at that. Tiger's been sticking the stick.
Number of times Tiger twirls his golf club, the over-under is 2.5.
More.
I would say more, too. So that's it. Those are the best of them. There's some other ones in there about.
And we still don't know where this thing is going to get played.
No. And, like, how many holes will be conceded?
Yep.
Will hole number 18 even be played? I would say no on that one. Most 18-hole matches don't go the full 18, but if they used my format, they would play more holes. Three different matches.
Bringing this golf topic up, too. It's like, how the hell are golf courses not open around here? Yeah.
Well, I guess the good news is there weren't a lot of days to play golf in the month of April as we finish off the coldest April on record. So it's not like you've been missing out on a whole lot.
Today's the last day of April, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, they bring it brings May flowers is what it does.
The April showers. April showers. Bring May flowers.
Bring May flowers.
Right.
I saw something that this will be the only April on record where it didn't hit 65 degrees.
I think that's what I saw this morning, too, yeah.
Oh, crap. Yeah. We had a couple of 70-degree days.
Not officially, not the
airport temp. Not the airport temp. Oh, okay. Right. On the water. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be the only April on record where it did not hit 65 in Boston. So.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Because wasn't there a couple hot marathons that were run? Like one was 80, 85 one year?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they're
saying
crap,
this
then.
Is a cold.
This particular April of 2020, it did not hit 65.
Oh,
it'll
okay.
be the only one that's ever happened in, because in all the other years, it's hit at least 65.
I'm going to come to your
so,
house
yeah,
and
you're
kick
right.
your ass. I swear
you're
to
right,
God.
Zoe. There were 80-degree marathons.
I'm losing
Those
it,
are
man.
The years where it hit 65.
I can't take it anymore.
This is the day Zoe snaps. This is it. This is his day. His day. We'll jump back to your calls next. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, man.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 Sports Hub and also on NBC Sports Boston. Make sure you download our Sports Hub app at our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub. Of course, that smart speaker we talked about yesterday, Hardy, is now showing up on every website I go to. It knows, man.
Oh, of course.
It's listening. They all know. I've seen
get your lawn gun on there yet? Get the spray seeder?
No, that one hasn't come up for me yet.
That's a nice service, though. I like it when that phone's listening to you or your computer's listening to you and then throws up an ad for you to buy whatever you were just talking about at a
yes.
discount. I appreciate it.
Pretty great. Pretty
porch
wild.
Furniture.
It is.
Wicker porch furniture. Wicker seating.
You're looking for wicker chairs right now?
Not wicker, but like, you know, the outdoor chairs, the slatted ones. I think you have a couple of them, right?
I do.
Like
have
those square ones. Yeah, I'm looking for deck furniture.
Boy, I would really like to purchase some deck furniture online right now.
I want cheap deck furniture. Big sales today only.
Good barbecue in Houston.
Yeah. 5 hours left.
Don't do that, Artie.
Can't believe Beetle drove.
Every time we tell that story, you can't believe I was driving, despite the fact that I drove everywhere that week.
It's like such a mouth drive, you know?
That was pre-fender bender Beetle. That's when you were still very aggressive when you were behind the wheel. You got us where we needed to be.
Oh, man. 617-779-0985. Brett's in Rhode Island. Hey, Brett.
Yeah, what about Jake Ballard for an overrated tight end?
Jake Ballard, he never did play here, right?
I don't
got hurt, right?
He got hurt.
I don't ever remember seeing him on the field.
There was some hype there. I'll put him on the list. I think that's a good one.
He kicked your ass when he was with the Giants. Yeah.
One of my favorite. Some of the guys who never make it to the field are some of my favorites. What was it? Armand Armstead was his name. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the hype and the fans buying in on that one?
That was the Yeti. You never saw
him. Oh, my God. Talk about overhyped. He never played. He never made it to the field. Those are the ones that
are annoying. But Nico Koutavidis.
Nico Koutavidis. Sure.
There wasn't a lot of hype with him. I agree that he was a disappointment. But the hype, I don't know if it was ever there for Nico.
Paul in Braintree. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, I have a couple. How about Brandon Merriweather? Coney Ealy and Tony Bantakane.
Oh, we got some good ones here. Who is the second one you said?
Coney Ealy.
Yes, that's another one of those guys.
Did he give up a fourth round or second round for him? Carolina.
I don't know.
I think
it was a fourth rounder.
So Coney Ealy, Brandon Merriweather, and Tully Bantakane.
Merriweather's a good player.
Yeah, Merriweather I liked. I mean, he was a bit of a knucklehead.
He's a safety on an undefeated team. Come on.
Costly downfield penalties, but otherwise.
He hit you late. Hit you late. He had no problem hitting you late. He liked to hit you late.
Somebody brought up on the All-Decade team whether or not Aqib Talib was given enough consideration in the secondary there for the All-Decade team.
That's an interesting.
Instead of Malcolm Butler?
Totally freaking forget that.
Yeah,
that's on
Aqib Talib
man.
There instead of Malcolm Butler.
I tried to make the list for make your argument for Logan Ryan. Yeah, I'd put Talib ahead of Ryan.
Oh yeah,
hell yeah.
Yeah, that's a good name, but I just think that the impact of Butler is hard to overlook.
True,
you know. And Butler's pretty known for his own play. Right.
You say Malcolm Butler, you think of the pick, Malcolm Go. Yeah.
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 He won you a Super Bowl, and he lost you one when he wasn't played.
Here we go. Coulter in Newburyport is offensive or defensive lineman? Defensive lineman, it says here. What do you have for
us? Hey, yeah. Hey, guys. Yeah. A caller took one of my other ones, but with Coney Ealy, but I think Albert Haynesworth had a lot of hype around him. If I remember correctly, he was holding out in Washington and then a lot of hype here. I think he didn't even make the team, and he got in some hot water with a credit card incident.
He did. He made the team, but he wasn't very effective. He didn't play a lot. He fizzled out quickly.
Whatever hype there was for Haynesworth, it was offset by all the head shaking that was going on. They couldn't believe that the Patriots actually signed that
guy. Took a flyer on him, right.
Yeah, I don't know. That was the first in a line of signings or acquisitions by the team that didn't seem to be in lockstep with what, you know, the special nature of what happened in Foxborough. And whatever hype there was with Albert Haynesworth, I think that the conversation was dominated by, instead of this guy's going to be really good, instead it was, can you believe they signed that guy? That Albert Haynesworth?
Tough. Right. How about Adalis Thomas?
I don't remember
because
all the hype. I know that, I mean, we all
but
have
that's,
our feelings,
that's
but
the previous decade, though. That's one. We can't go back that
true.
Far. Previous decade. Chris in Raynham. Hi, Chris.
You're completely underrating Brandon LaFell. I think I heard you guys say that he was overrated earlier. That 2014 season, he had almost 80 catches, 1,000 yards, and 7 TDs. And then don't forget the playoff game against
Chris, you're preaching to the choir. We agreed
pumped his tires, man,
last week early. That LaFell should be on the all-decade team.
He
so we don't
outside
him.
But you need an outside receiver.
I heard you guys mention him.
I think we were just rattling off names that people had thrown at us, not us personally.
That season, he was a huge factor. I mean, I don't know what happened in 2015. He had the yips or something. But that single season, he was a really, really good player.
He had a ton of drops that next year. He got you going early in Super Bowl 49. Gave you a chance in that game. It was starting to get away from you. Yeah.
We thought he was the best outside guy of the decade on the team.
Yeah, I made the case for him. Yeah.
And he really was only really impactful for a year, but so was everybody else in that category of outside guys, whether it was Lloyd or it was Cooks, no matter who you choose, 1 year. Everybody only gave the team 1 year this decade on the perimeter. Tanner in Providence. Hey, Tanner.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Hey.
Zoe, that receiver before that you were trying to think of, number 88, that's Sammy Aiken.
Thank you.
Yeah, and also my choice is Ocho Cinco. So I'll let you guys talk about it. Thank you.
Okay, we've gone over the Ocho Cinco. That's fair. We had a lot of expectations for him. Sam Aiken. Yeah, I don't have a lot of recollection, a lot of memories of Sam Aiken.
Yeah, that's why. That's the guy Brady was screaming at. It's not that hard. Sammy, it's not that hard.
And little to no memory of that.
Not that hard to pick up.
Danny and Natick. Danny.
Hey, how about Scott Chandler? I don't know if you guys already.
We got him. Nailed him. On the list.
He's the number one guy, I'd say.
Let me just go over the list again of what we put together, of what people have suggested. Ryan Mallett at quarterback. Brandon Bolden is running back. Scott Chandler and Jake Ballard are the tight ends people have given us. Receiver list is long. Michael Floyd, Kenbrell Tompkins, Aaron Dobson, Kenny Britt, Brandon Cooks, Muhammad Sanu, Austin Colley. Defensive lineman, Coney Ealy, Albert Haynesworth. Tully Bantakane is a linebacker. Brandon Merriweather is a safety. These are some of the overrated names that we've gone over to this point. So if you've got any of those names, we've already mentioned those ones. Zach in Milford says Hardy's out of his mind. On what? What topic?
I agree with you on that. That's great.
Thank you.
Right. And Hardy, I do get a bone stick with you. Normally, 98.5% of the time, I agree with your takes, but yeah. I gotta fire off on this one for you. Okay, I'm excited for this golf match. Plus 950 odds. Typically, I would not bet that on a hole in one. I love all four of these people in this thing. Put $10 down on this for a hole in one. Get $95. That's one coffee a week at Starbucks or three at Dunk's. Just throw $10 at it, and if you don't,
why don't you just give me the $10? You're throwing it away.
What's your Venmo? I'll give it you right now. I'll do that.
All right, good. All right, well, send me an email and we'll exchange it that way. If you just give me $10,
I got one quick thing for you, Hardy.
Make the bet with Hardy. That's what you should do. Hardy will pay you. Don't place the wager with the book. Place it with Hardy.
Beetle, that's a UMass education right there. I love it.
Thank you.
I'll give you I tell you what, if you bet $100, I'll give you 100-1 odds.
I'm down. I'll take it now.
Okay. There we go.
DM it. DM me. I'm on. I'm good for it.
I'll take it.
All right. You guys work that out.
There we go.
Zach and Hardy.
I'm not doing that.
Well, you're giving him 100-1 or 10-1. What are you giving him?
I would give him 100-1 odds on a $100 bet.
So you're gonna pay that out?
Sure. It's not gonna happen. No one's getting a hole in one. Stop it. It's nonsense.
Do they have a car? You know, they win a car.
Tiger was doing an interview recently. Do you know Tiger recently had a string of holes in one? But he went through of all the golf he played from 99 up until 2015. He had a 16-year stretch where he didn't have a hole in one. He's had 10 or 15 of them, but most of them happened early on when he was, still a kid, and then a few more over the last few years.
Huh.
It's like a total fluke thing. It's not anything you can count on.
Okay. I'll take the 100-1 if you're offering that, by the way.
I'm not offering it to anybody.
Hardy, you've never had one, right?
Even offering it to Zach. He and I are going to have a nice email exchange back and forth.
Hardy, not even one, right? Wait, not even at the 10-1 for the $10? You don't even want to do that?
You want to do a dollar at 100-1?
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's do that.
I'll send you the dollar.
Okay. I'll give 100-1 to anybody who wants to bet that. It's ridiculous.
Okay. All right. Zach, I would do it. Zach should do it. I'm going to do it. We'll take that. And you're going to have $2. And that won't even buy you a cup of coffee.
Haha.
Naha. All right, headlines here. We're right back. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.